we can hint about what story you're going to tell on Sunday, but we can tell a different story now.
Yeah.
You want a happy story or a sad story? Black people story.
You get to choose.
Which sometimes are all of the above.
Is that right? Yeah.
Time for Local Hero Spotlight with Jacob Nelson from CESA, the local hero folks, who are hosting Field Notes this Sunday at the Academy of Music in Northampton. It's a storytelling event. Jacob, before we introduce one of our storytellers and guests and people that I totally idolize, tell us what Field Notes is all about.
So Field Notes is a live storytelling show. It's a similar format if you've listened to, like, The Moth on public radio app of your choosing.
Or the radio or itself, 80. Radio itself on the weekends.
People do that. Or if you have...
Whoa, I didn't realize that we were going to get shade thrown at us this early in our talk.
I didn't even mean to throw shade either, so apologies there. Or if you're a follower of NEPM's Valley Voices, which is another amazing storytelling series around the Valley throughout the year. Field Notes is a similar format of storytelling to both of those, but it's not competitive like either one of those is sometimes. So yeah, it'll be at the Academy of Music in Northampton this Sunday, 2 to 4. We'll have 10 wonderful storytellers who will be just giving snapshots of their lives, moments where local food or farming really made an impact on them. And the purpose of this show is, first and foremost, just to celebrate all of the diversity and the wonderful people and the creativity and the hard work and the love that goes into building a local food system. And in many cases, swimming against the stream or going against the grain, that is something that we want to lift up. Working so close to a lot of these people for CESA, we get to see many of these stories and peek behind the scenes a lot of the time. And it's really cool what we get to experience. And they're just amazing stories that come up. And so this is a chance for us to share them with all of you. And the second thing that I really love about Field Notes is it expands the broader narrative, the big story we all tell ourselves about what local food is. And who builds the local food system? And who is it for? And who really should be welcome there? I think that is a lot of what the story of the person who we have the privilege of being in the studio with today is going to talk about. I don't know if I can introduce.
Yes,
or
please
if you want
do.
To, Monty.
We'll, Khalees and I will both glow too much if
yes.
we introduce.
Oh, good
yes.
grief!
Well, we've been asking Liz if she wanted to tell a story at Field Notes for a couple of years, and I'm so excited she finally said yes this year. But yeah, we're here with Liz Ogilvie, who I don't even know how to like. How do you introduce yourself these days, Liz?
We call her
so
a superhero.
Superhero.
That you have your hands involved in.
Springfield Food Policy Council, gardening the community, food justice advocate in Mason Square, Springfield, amongst other places. Total hunger-fighting badass, as I called her at the White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health.
He did call me that. I'm excited to be here. You know, first of all, Monty, you've got to get cable or something so you can find somebody else besides me to idolize, because that's pretty sad. And I'm heartily disappointed to learn that this is not a competitive enterprise.
You got to win this thing on Sunday?
Yes. You know, I don't like to be in it unless I'm going to win it. But seriously, CESA has been chasing me for years. And part of the challenge is because I am working in so many different spaces, it's like, what is my story? In addition to the local food system work, I'm trying to keep chairs warm for other brown people by sitting at the Massachusetts Food System Collaborative as a steering committee member. And the same is true for Mass Farm to School. And last year, I started working on what was supposed to be the 2023 Farm Bill. And it's looking like it's going to be the 2024 or the 2025 Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for folks who don't know, it is the largest piece of federal legislation, and it controls everything that has to do with everything about food. And it's a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
Like many other things at the federal level. So now I'm happy to just be in Springfield and not in D.C. as much as I have been. Yeah, and I'm excited about Field Notes. I was joking about it being a competitive enterprise, although I do want to find out more about these other competitions.
We can welcome you to Valley Voices, too. You can submit your stories. I'm sure they'd love to have you.
They would.
We're speaking with Liz Ogilvie, who will be telling a story at Field Notes amongst how many other people on Sunday, Jacob?
There will be 10 people getting up on stage to tell a story.
We don't want you to divulge what story you're going to tell on Sunday, but you want to give us a little hint about what it'll be about?
Well, I'll tell you, CESA comes up with these catchy titles for Field Notes, and this year it's In the Weeds. And just as a black person living on this land, I'm in the weeds all the time. And as a farmer, you know, in the weeds is just where we live. And then there's COVID, which were weeds that were like seaweed and a sand pit and just horror altogether. But out of that, some pretty cool stuff happened. And so that's my tease.
Nice.
Cool.
You have a million other stories, and I'm sure it was hard to pick what one story to tell for one storytelling event. But tell us a story today, Liz O'Gilvie.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first started thinking about this, I was thinking about, well, how did I get to be where I am in this space in the food system? And obviously, gardening the community was a big doorway in for me. I had worked on Change Stuff, had just moved back to Springfield after living in places like Chicago and on the West Coast, and trying to figure out what's my lane. I didn't know it was going to be what's my row. but because of meeting these young kids at Gardening the Community, they were teenagers, and they were working on letting neighbors know that you could buy food in your neighborhood that was grown in beautiful soil without pesticides, and they just set me on fire. And so I then decided, well, we need a recruiting system for gardening the community, so I better start working at elementary schools and get some school gardens in. And that was really where my world broke wide open, because you teach little kids how to grow a cherry tomato and everything changes. And it was not easy. I was thinking about a time when we opened up a garden at Rebecca Johnson Elementary School. And, you know, I'm an odd duck in my neighborhood. I live in McKnight. It's mostly black and brown people and diehard white liberals who have been there for 30 or 40 years and just aren't leaving.
That's my street.
Do we live in the same neighborhood?
Yeah, we live in the same.
Oh, we do. Anyhow, we opened up this garden, and some of the neighbors, I use that term loosely, decided they were going to test me. And I would come into the garden to get it ready for a lesson and find all sorts of unmentionables in the garden beds. And a couple of times we had to take all the soil out and start all over. And I did it between weeping and running noses, but determined. Because, yeah, I am a badass a little bit. I hate to be proven wrong. And you know, when I started that work, we had, I think, 5 school gardens and maybe only 3 of them active. And now I'm really proud to say about Springfield Public Schools and their food service partner, Sodexo, that we have 32 school gardens.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever come up to you and just explain why there was so much pushback for having a garden at the school?
Nobody had to explain. You know, I've been black a long time. And when people come in and do things and then leave, it leaves a lot of people disappointed. And there's a lot of do-gooders, and they come in every color. I am not that. I'm just a black person trying to figure out how to survive this experience of being human. And I think people weren't sure I was for real. But then they figured out that I lived literally down the street and that these children, although not of my body, were mine. It shifted. And then I started giving them the stuff we were growing and stuff I was growing from my own lot. And they did become my neighbors.
We'll have more with All Around Food Justice champion Springfield's Liz O'Gilvie shortly, as well as a talk with Jess Coulson and Nikai Fondon of Girls Inc. of the Valley.
You're listening to the Fabulous 413 on 88.5 NEPM. We're speaking with Liz O'Gilvie, who's one of the storytellers at CESA's Field Notes, which will happen this Sunday at the Academy of Music. She works with the Springfield Food Policy Council, Gardening the Community, and more. We're also with Jacob Nelson of CESA.
Liz, I'm wondering why this is the year that you've decided to tell a story at Field Notes, and what makes you want to get up on that stage? If it's not a competition. If
it's
not to win.
Since it's not a competition.
Well, I mean, you're so darn cute, Jacob, that it was really hard to say no.
He is cute.
I don't know. There were these moments throughout the work. Like when I first got into food system work, I was working with amazing people, some from CESA, some from other places, and they would say, we've got to tear down the tofu curtain. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And then finally at a meeting, I lost it. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't want any tofu. I'm trying to get some corn. And some green beans for the people in my neighborhood. And I always knew it was a metaphor, but I wanted them to understand that if they want to engage everybody, then talk to everybody. COVID really illuminated the inequities for me, particularly because a lot of my work is really public health driven. It's really not just driven by hunger. It's driven by what, forgive my vernacular, Yes, food, going back to the days of commodities, has done for our communities. And I thought, I want people to ask more questions. And so to do that, I need to get them interested. And there's a sense of desperation that I feel right now.
One of the ways that I have seen directly that you are trying to change people's notions about foodways is with some of the greenery that's being brought into Springfield specifically, making it more food plants like fruit shrubs, fruit trees. Why is a shift like that important and how is it going?
Well, where I plant and where Gardening the Community plants and where the people that I have some influence over plant, it's going very well. From a systemic perspective, it's just not. We are Springfield, well, Hamden County. Springfield, if you're from the South, like I sort of am, you think of Springfield as the county seat. And every public health agency, including the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, ranks Hamden County as being 14th for public health. We have the worst cases of diabetes in adults and children. And I mean type 2 in kids, not type 1 that you get as an autoimmune disorder, and cardiac disease. And Hamden County lost 2,800 people during COVID that we know of, and the majority of them had food-related preventable diseases. So if we're going to plant a tree, can we plant an apple tree or a peach tree or a pear tree? I hear responses like, oh, it'll be a mess because of all the fallen fruit, despite the fact that homelessness is on the rise and hunger is on the rise. Food insecurity, I don't say because it's too kind and not really indicative of what people are experiencing. I think folks will pick the fruit, and I think they will because they pick from our lots.
I actually pointed out to folks here, we have serviceberry trees out in front of the station here in Springfield, and when we would walk to lunch, I'd just like reach up and grab some.
That's great.
And they're like, what is this? I'm like, you can eat these. These are delicious. Yes.
I planted blackberry bushes. I bought a lot that's next to my house. It was actually the homestead of Primus Mason. Didn't know that till I started trying to buy it from the city, but was able to buy it through an abutting lot program because by then people were starting to think of me as the healthy food lady. They didn't know that I was volunteering at GTC and helping on the board, but I hadn't grown a thing in my life. But that lot forced me to, and started out with three little rows of kale, which I despise. But kale, it never fails you.
It never fails. It's super forgiving.
So it just
sometimes
makes
it goes through the whole
like,
winter somehow.
Yeah. Which is why I'm scared of it. Like, I don't want to see something covered in 5 feet of snow and pop up and say, I'm still here.
I mean, don't you, though? Like, take that strength and bring it into your own body.
Yes, I do. And I tear it up and put it in soup. But I planted blackberry bushes all around the perimeter of this lot, to some degree as a barrier. But the kids walking towards the bus stop or from the bus stop, their faces were purple. They were just stained with blackberries. So I'm on a mission. And I am tenacious, and I believe that Mayor Sarno wants to take good care of his people here in Springfield, and I believe Parks and Rec does, and I'm going to help them understand that planting fruit trees amidst all the wonderful oak trees would be a fine thing to do. And maybe your listeners will help me.
We're speaking with Liz O'Gilvy, who's a storyteller, this Sunday at Field Notes, hosted by CISA at the Academy of Music in Northampton, and Jacob Nelson from CISA joins us as well.
Liz, this conversation is reminding me that I think every time I talk to you, I learn something different about your past and who you are and how it brought you here today that I didn't know before, which is true whenever you talk to someone interesting who's done a lot of things.
Jacob, when we all met the first time, and I can make everything a reason to back out of something. So that day,
tell the story
it
of
was,
this. Yeah.
I was committed to doing this in very large part because Jacob is just... has just grabbed me, just grabbed a piece of my heart. I don't know why exactly, but I woke up that morning and it was snowing. And I was like, oh, it's snowing. And kind of disappointed, but also kind of like, well, now I don't really have to drive up the hill because if I'm getting snow, they must be getting a ton. So I reach out to Jacob and he's like, yeah, we got nothing. It's a little bit wet, but there's nothing really happening here. And I don't like to let people down. And so my conscience started to, like, work on me, and I could hear my grandmother's voice saying, you say white people aren't listening. White people are going to listen to this. You better go do this thing. So I text Jake, and I say, I'll get in the car, and we'll see what Holyoke looks like. And it is hellish between Springfield and Holyoke. We're talking about 15 minutes. And then I get on the other side of Holyoke, and it's like the most beautiful winter day.
Stupid so... tofu curtain strikes again.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I'm going up this hill. So I did. And then I walk in this room, and there is everyone from everywhere.
What was that like?
Well, you know, my mind always has like 14 conversations happening at one time. So my first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm not the only brown person. And then, but damn, I'm the only black person. And BIPOC is BIPOC for a reason, because the experiences of black and indigenous people are different than other people of color. And so I felt, I got to do this. The other thing is, I was doing some genealogy research with my great aunt, who I adored, who died in 2019, not from COVID, but just before COVID. And it's odd to say you're thankful that someone's gone, but I'm glad she didn't live through that. But through being with her and wanting to help her have a sense of herself, I learned that I descend from someone who was enslaved in this state, in this Commonwealth. And that's a different thing, because we like to think of slavery or that period of enslavement as a sin of the South.
Oh, yeah, everyone likes to forget.
Yeah. Forget that it was the law of the land and that Massachusetts was the first state to make it legal. Mm-hmm. So everything that I do now, including Field Notes, is through that lens, the lens of an opportunity to tell a part of the food system story that doesn't get told.
Along those lines, like, have you been able to connect with other black farmers who are doing larger scale work? Like, not that connecting with gardeners, like people doing stuff at home, is not its own thing, because it is very empowering to grow your own food no matter the scale. But like, especially in this area, like connecting with other black farmers, have you been able to do that in this work?
I think in Western Mass, I probably know every non-white farmer, it feels like, at times. And in Central Mass, there's this wonderful organization, World Farmers, where they have 270 immigrant, mostly black, from different countries in the continent, Kenya, Somalia, Ghana, who are farming. And little tease, they're part of the reason that we were able to feed as many people as we were during the pandemic. And when I say we, I mean the Springfield Food Policy Council and Gardening the Community. So you'll hear a little bit more about that.
Okay, I'll stop asking.
I think you're going to win on Sunday, Liz.
I heard it's not a competition.
It's not a competition. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I hope a lot of folks will come. I think that these are stories of joy. There's probably a little bit of sadness in all of them. I haven't heard all the other stories, but I've met the other speakers, and you don't get one without the other. Like, we are able to be joyful because of hardship, I think. But I think it will be a little bit of truth-telling about the food system. You know, as a black person, I understand we built the agricultural system here. Folks who I descend from, and directly and not, are the reason that the United States is the United States, has the economic base that it has. And it's time for us to think about that. And we're strong enough. Like, build some core muscles. My friend B. Dewberry talks about we have to build our civic muscle. We have to strengthen our backbone. We can hold that we enslaved people and built big universities with that money and big insurance companies and big banks. And now emerging people are going to own land, if I have anything to do with it. People of all shades, but in particular, people with more melanin.
Liz O'Gilvy will be telling a story at Field Notes this Sunday at the Academy of Music in Northampton. It's presented by CISA, the local hero folks. You can find out more by going to buylocalfood.org. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monty and Khalees.
Sure.
As if Liz O'Gilvy wasn't inspiring enough, coming up, more inspiring women and girls. We'll talk with Jess Colson and Nikai Fondon of Girls Inc. of the Valley.
You're listening to the Fabulous 413 on 88.5 NEPM.